They saw it, I think, as one of the fundamentals of geometry. The Greeks were very hot on this Platonist concept of the ideal world with the perfect circle, the perfect line, and the golden number as a sort of perfect ratio. They thought of it as two lengths, one about 1.6 times the other.
So just in the same way as pi is the ratio between a circumference and a diameter.
That's right. The Greeks went to great lengths not to talk about numbers in the way we would, but to talk about ratios of two lengths. And that got them around the problem that some numbers are not perfect fractions, they're irrational numbers. And indeed, the golden number is irrational, it is not an exact fraction. It's 1.618034 and a bit, it goes on and on and on.
The golden ratio is also called the golden mean or the divine ratio. But whatever it's called, you can build a rectangle out of it, which has one side that is 1.618 times longer than the other side. Robin Wilson is a maths historian at the Open University.
The Greeks are fascinated with geometry anyway, and the golden ratio crops up throughout geometry. If you have a bit of paper where it's the sides are in the ratio, the golden ratio, 1.618 to 1, the ancient Greeks regarded that as the most perfect type of rectangle. It wasn't too long and thin, it wasn't too squarish. Aesthetically, it was a very attractive rectangle.
Leonardo da Vinci seems to have thought that 1.618 defined perfect proportions within the human body. And Piet Mondrian's rectangular art repeatedly incorporated the golden ratio. And the Parthenon has golden rectangles within it. But Ian Stewart warns against being overzealous when searching for the golden ratio.
If you've got a building, you can find thousands and thousands of measurements, and if you start comparing them, you will find any number you want.
Yeah, I mean, the human brain has evolved for finding patterns, and if you know what patterns you're looking for, you'll see them more or less.
That's the danger here. Certainly, some more modern architects and artists have deliberately used the golden mean. Le Corbusier is the best known example. He had a scheme called the Modulor. He said it was the perfect proportions for designing human-sized buildings for humans to actually fit inside. He was unusual among architects, I think, in thinking of what happened inside the buildings as well as what they looked like from outside. So he had this scheme of lots and lots of different rectangles, and it was all hanging around the golden mean.
But it's not just art. The golden ratio also appears in nature. The ventricles in the heart reset themselves at the golden ratio point in the heart's rhythmic cycle and divide the pitch of a DNA spiral by its diameter and you get roughly the golden ratio. These could be coincidences, but there is at least one natural structure that definitely reflects the golden ratio. The precision is uncanny.
If you create a rectangle that's in the ratio of the golden mean, if you break inside that to a smaller rectangle that's in golden ratio and a smaller rectangle within that, within that, within that, you keep drawing a series of rectangles inside each other. They're all sort of spiraling round inside the big rectangle in that divided ratio, the golden ratio. You can create something called the spiral of Archimedes.
So hang on, so I've generated a whole series of ever-decreasing rectangles
that are sort of vanishing into a point in the middle. Then take your pen and dot the bottom right-hand corner of each of those rectangles as you drew them. You can join those points up in a spiral. And this beautiful spiral occurs in snail shells, in crustaceans, in many places in the natural world.
It's a number which is about 1.618, but if you happen to square it, then what you get is 2.618. And if you happen to take its reciprocal, 1 over the number, you get 0.618. So it's a very strange number. As I say, if you square it, it's the same as adding 1, and if you take 1 over it, it's the same as subtracting 1. The reason it has these properties is that it is actually a number which satisfies a certain quadratic equation, x squared equals x plus 1. So automatically, if x is this golden ratio number, this 1.618, then x squared is that plus 1. So from an arithmetical point of view, it's a very attractive number.
1.618 strikes me as a rather robust number. Square it or invert it, and the 0.618 stays intact. It has an inherent stability, further demonstrated to me by mathematician Ron Knott.
Usually on a calculator, there's a 1 over x button, divide it into 1 button, or take the reciprocal. So if you tap in any number, then add 1 to it, and then hit the 1 over x button, and then add 1 to that and hit the 1 over X button, then add 1 to that and hit the 1 over X button. Keep doing that. You'll find very soon it'll settle down to the golden section number 0.618 or 1.618.
Fibonacci was a guy called Leonardo of Pisa. He was a mathematician around 1100 AD. He did a lot of different mathematics, and one of the most famous things he discovered was the Fibonacci sequence, or the Fibonacci numbers. He took the numbers 0 and 1, added them together to get 1. He took the last two numbers of that list, 1 and 1, added them to get 2. And he kept adding the last two numbers of the list to generate the next numbers. And these numbers, which were originally modelled on a hypothesis of a population of rabbits, that every generation, two parents produce one offspring, and that models the number in the population after each iteration. It's an unrealistic model of population because people die off and all that, but it does show how quickly things can grow. This beautiful list of numbers, the Fibonacci numbers, crops up in so many areas of mathematics. So many different formulas, so many different lists of numbers relate back to the beautiful Fibonacci numbers.
Supposing you're in a car park and the machine takes £1 and £2 coins and you want a ticket, say, for £3. How many sequences of coins can you put in to make your £3? And you've only got £1s and £2 available. Well, you could put in 3 £1 coins, or you could put in a £2 coin and then a £1, or you could put the £1 coin in first and then the 2. So there are three ways to make a £3 ticket. Now, supposing I wanted to stay a bit longer and it was £4.
Right.
How many ways could you do it?
Okay, I can or a 1-1-1-1.
Right.
So that's
two ways, yes.
1-1-2.
Yes.
1-2-1.
Yes.
2-1-1.
That's it. So there were three ways for a £3 ticket and five ways for a 4. And it turns out there'll be 8 for 5 and 13 for 6. And
right, and all of these
seven.
Are Fibonacci
these
numbers.
These are the Fibonacci numbers, yes.
If you look at a big sunflower, and most of them are fairly big, the seeds in the head just form this flat circle of seeds, but when you look closely you find it's got lots and lots of spiral patterns in it. There's a family of spirals that goes clockwise, and there's another family of spirals you can see which interpenetrates with it and goes anti-clockwise. And if you say how many spirals are there, very typically you'll see 34 in one direction and 55 in the other. And on really big sunflowers you may even see 89 in one direction and 144 in the other. And these are Fibonacci numbers.
My favourite example is pineapples. The diamonds on a pineapple surface form two interlocking spirals. 8 go in one direction, 13 in the other. Both Fibonacci numbers. Now, take any two neighbouring Fibonacci numbers, divide the larger by the smaller, and you get roughly 1.618. 5 and 3 are Fibonacci numbers, and 5 divided by 3 is 1.66, which is close to the golden ratio. The next Fibonacci numbers are 8 and 5, and 8 divided by 5 is 1.6, which is even closer, and so on. You just heard Ian Stewart mention the Fibonacci numbers 89 and 55, and 89 divided by 55 is 1.6182, equal to the golden ratio, accurate to one part in 10,000. And if you could take infinitely huge Fibonacci numbers, then you get the golden ratio with perfect precision. Nature's number. 1.618 03 39 88 74 98 94 84 82